If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. As we're going, book at a time, a verse at a time. Drawing quicker towards the end. Like I said, I'll have a few review messages at the end where we're going to kind of take, you know, other than just going through the verse at a time, some of the overall themes that John has embedded in this text that we're to pick up on. You know, he has some sevens in there. There's some sixes, and we'll look at that as we get there. But as I've tried to make it my pattern as we go through the book of John to see John and his perspective before we get to the text this morning. So hold your spot in 1 John chapter 4 and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. John spent time with Jesus. You know, and as I say that, it hits me with some weight of it. Oh, he spent time with him. We should be spending time with him. You know, we have the same opportunity that John had. But his was a little unique in that he could see him. He could watch him. You know, it was while Christ was on the earth. I mean, early church had a lot of arguments. And it was usually not that Jesus Christ was divine. They had problem understanding that Jesus Christ was a man. You know, they couldn't understand his divinity. They couldn't understand his humanity. You know, and so they sometimes had grips with that. And so John spent time with Jesus while he was here on the earth, just as we do. But he worked with him through his public ministry, pretty much his whole public ministry. He's one of the early ones called, and so he's with him throughout his ministry. And there's a theme that he conveys. There's a lot of themes in the Gospel of John. But there's one theme about Jesus that he conveys. And chapter 1, verse 14 touches on one of them. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He talks about dwelling with him. He says, I spent time with him. He was here. He dwelt among us. He came down to earth that he would humble himself to come down here to live on our earth, to come to us, to rescue us, to redeem us. He said, I beheld his glory. John was in that, and he unveiled Jesus Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration where he took the veil away and he shone brightly and how that made an impact on him and the other two that were with him. He talks about Jesus' grace. The one who could come down and speak destruction and be right, but not. He gives us grace instead. Mercy, kindness, then neither do I condemn you. Repent and trust in me. You know, he conveys that, and so that strikes him. And then the last thing that he ends with, and I'm going to emphasize this morning, is truth. That Jesus Christ is true. That Jesus Christ is truth. That Jesus Christ is real. He's the real truth. That Jesus Christ is not false. He's not fake. He's not the false narrative. He's not false news. He's the real deal. The real one who came. He's the real Messiah. He said, he is true. You know, we need something true. In construction, what a true lie. You know, when something's true, you need a true bearing point when you're navigating. You know, he's the truth that you can stand on, the firm foundation, the straight line, the narrow way, the way to go. Jesus claims that he is truth. Look at chapter 8 as John continues. John 8 and verse 31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So he says, know the truth. Learn the truth. You study my word. You know this. If you're in the truth, that reveals that you're with me. And so it's not something false. He's saying, no, know the truth. You know, it's empowering to know the truth and to stand behind the truth. And the truth can take all questions. The truth can be attacked on all sides. The truth stands. The truth endures. It is there. You know, lies fall down. They crumble. But the truth stands. And for those who don't understand and don't get it, he continues in verse 43. Look at verse 43. He says, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So he warns about the devil. The devil and his are liars. You know, you reflect who you worship. And so people who lie are doing like their father, the devil. They are liars. And so we are supposed to speak truth. We're supposed to be like the one who saved us, the one who we serve. We want to be truth speakers. We want to speak truth. We want to speak life. Lies are of death. There's one verse you should think of when you think of Jesus Christ being truth, it's John 14. John 14 and verse 6. John 14, 6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way. The one way is the true way. And the true way is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the answer. He is life. If you want to live, go His way. Do what Christ says. Be as Christ says to be. You know, repent and trust as Christ says. You know, trust in Him and your Savior. It's the truth. You need a Savior. And so all these things speak truth. Let's look at one more. It's in John 17. John 17, verse 17, helps us here today. It says, Jesus Christ, prayer. And He prays, sanctify them, John 17, 17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's going to use His word. His word is where we go to get truth. His word is what we study to know truth. Verse 19 says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself that they may also be sanctified through truth. It's His truth sets us apart, sanctified, means set apart. We are set apart by truth. If you stand in the truth, you're going to be set apart from the world that's going after the devil. You know, so the truth stands, the truth shines forth, the truth is a lighthouse, it's a beacon, it's a refreshing. You know, it'd be refreshing to have some truth in the media. It'd be some refreshing, you know, to have truth spoken out in public places. It's refreshing that way. And so, truth is mentioned 33 times in the gospel. John does it 22 of those times. And so it struck him hard that with being with Jesus, that He was the source of truth. That He was the way of truth. He is the truth. His words are true. We're to be going to His truth. And so in the family gospel of 1 John, speaking to the family, He wants to convey to us, stay with what's true. Go with what's true. Don't be deceived. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning. So 1 John chapter 4. He's working on that, but he's working on the opposite a little bit. He's warning us. We should know the truth. We should handle the truth. We should know the true Jesus. We should know Jesus' words. We should know how Jesus behaves, how He acts, how He expects us to live and to act and to behave. We should know Him so well because we spent time with Him that the false was glaring to us, that it's obvious to us that that's not right. That's not the real Jesus. Hand me the real one. You know, we should know it. So John 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's probably all we're going to have time for this morning. And what I kind of like to do, and I do often when I have a difficult text, is boil it down. If I could boil this verse down to one word, it would be false, you know. Or a lie. You know, watch out for false. Watch out for a lie. We should know the truth. You know, he's warning us about falsehood. He's warning us about liars here. And so, John is warning us about the opposite of truth. Beware of this. Matter of fact, look at verse 3. It tells us the source. Verse 3 says, And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already, or already is that is it in the world? So he gets a tongue tied. But he says this comes from not Christ. The falsehood is not from Christ. It's from Antichrist. It's the exact opposition of Him, opposed to Him, or in place of Him. Antichrist means both. It means against Christ and also in place of Christ. They are taking what is true and setting up something false in that way. And that's who Antichrist is. That's what the Antichrist system is, to replace the way through Jesus Christ and try to give you other ways. That's all false religion. That's all false doctrine. That's everything. Saying that you can earn your salvation, it's false. It's Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And John is saying, I'm warning you about this. I love you, the church. I love you, little children. Be on guard. And so he's wanting us to be on guard. verse 1 here communicates many truths to us. And sadly, many are strange to us in 2017 Trafalgar, Indiana. It's because the Antichrist deception is working. And sadly, it works on us. And it numbs us. And it makes us deny. And it makes us think, well, I don't know. That seems extreme. Is this weird? And that seems harsh. That's the spirit of Antichrist working even on us. And so anything that sounds odd or maybe tickles or you're a little funny this morning or you'll get so... No, that's the Antichrist. We got to purge out the lie and embrace the truth and go with what is true. And so he wants us to be aware. Be aware. Disinformation is nothing that is new. It's something that we face daily, but it's not new. It's been since the beginning. He is a liar. Jesus tells us Satan is a liar. Be on guard. So there's several things, at least six things I see here in verse 1 that he's teaching us. He says, Beloved, let's read it again. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. First thing that hits me is that there are spirits, plural. There are spirits out there that are communicating. It's not something we can like, I don't know, maybe back then. No, maybe back then, maybe now. No, maybe about it now. Then and now. There are spirits that are out there. That it's not just this world, there's a spiritual realm as well. And we've been talking about that of late. I really felt like from the last year that the Spirit's been telling me, we need to be on guard about this. It's coming down to this. There's going to be a lie that's perpetrated. We know the Bible tells us that. We need to be on guard. We need the truth so well. And part of knowing the truth is also studying the enemy. I played football. We spent usually one day a week, at least a portion of a practice, watching game film. You know, it was back then. It was not a video. It was an 8mm, black and white. You know, people running around, and we would study how the other team was playing. You know, in basketball, we watched it sometimes too. when I was in varsity, I never was. So when I was there, Brian, you're going to be the center. Watch how this guy's play like that this week. So sometimes I'd have to be doing whatever that guy would do and try to act out so that our offense could be prepared for it. And so he is telling us how they behave so that we can react to it and be on guard and see that trick when it's coming. So there are spirits. The first thing, and the second thing is that these spirits communicate. They do talk. They do break through into this realm and they convey messages. So all these people and all these shows that you're watching are like, what a bunch of crazy loons. Maybe not so. With Adam and Levi working where they do with phone calls, I usually get reports from them. Something's going on. A lot of crazy people hearing messages. A lot of weird things, you know, that people are conveying these things and something's talking to them and telling them to do stuff enough that they're taking notice. You know? And so it's there. It's not so far away to think that, oh, that's the big thing out there. It's our county. These things are going on. It's also implied in this text that there are good spirits and bad spirits. I think that's obvious from the context of the Bible as a whole. That there are some good ones, you know, we should listen to. And there are bad ones. He says we're to be aware of. He says, here, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe all the spirits. Don't just take them in. Oh, if it's coming from the spiritual realm, I should listen to them. No. Just because it's a different plane, we're not to listen to them and take that in as truth. Don't be gullible. He's warning us about this because that would be the tendency. It's something supernatural. It must know more. I better listen to it. John's saying, no, know this up front. So he's warning us about that. So that we need to take that. He tells us here to test them. Try them is the word he is. Try the spirits. Are they right or are they wrong? What do we try them with? The ruler, we measured against the word. What does the word say? Does that fit in line with what Jesus has already told me? If it doesn't, no, you're a liar. Get away from it. And he also says here that not only are there spirits, but these spirits work through people, and these people are false prophets. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. False prophets. They are sent to deceive. They work for Antichrist to try to build a system to pull us away from the true way, the true church, by building up these false church and false ways that seem right unto a man, that feel good, maybe have some religious feeling to them, to where you really feel like, oh, I really did something. It was really powerful. And Christ is not in it at all. He says these are false ones. And so they are sent to deceive. Jesus warned us about these guys. In Matthew 24, you don't have to turn there, but it's the passage about the end times where the disciples are there at the temple and like, say, look at this building. And Jesus says, this is all going to be thrown down. And they're like, when? You know, and so he begins to tell them, then he tells them about the last days. And he tells them at least four times to be on guard for deception. Take heed, many shall deceive you, he tells them. It's going to be a battle of information. And there's going to be deceivers out there giving you false information, leading you down a false path. That worked for Adam and Eve. Satan hasn't changed his strategy. If I just lie to him, get him to believe the lie, put enough truth in there with him that gets him to believe it, that they'll swallow the whole bait, hook, line, and sinker, then I've got him. So we got to, Jesus tells, so take heed that no man deceive you. So we're to be on guard. We're never to shut off this barrier. We're never to tune out. We're never to kick our brain out of gear and just coast. When you fall asleep, okay, in that way. But if we have information coming in, you're to be testing it at all times. Filters up. Every once in a while, you need to scrub that filter so it catches everything again so nothing gets in there. So we're going to be filters up. Jesus also says, false Christ shall deceive many. People will come in his name saying that they are maybe even him, false leaders in this way. And he says, they are going to come and they're going to deceive many. Don't let that be you. Because he says, shall deceive many. He says, they're going to work. It's going to work. He also says there'll be false prophets. They're going to come speaking false words. And it says, they shall deceive many. So we're to be on guard for that. False messages through the prophets given to them by these false spirits. And we're supposed to be exposed to it. And then it says, and they will try to deceive the very elect. They've got the world, right? They want to make us ineffective. They want to go after us to deceive us, to cast us down, to keep us quiet, to scare us, to keep us silent in our workplace, silent in our family, silent in our neighborhood, so we don't say anything because we're fearful. We're not to be fearful. Be not afraid, Christ said all the time. And so they are out there trying to deceive the very elect. So we're the front lines. And if you call yourself his and you're faithful and true to him, you are on the front lines. Michael W. Smith had a song back in early contemporary Christian music. It says, you're a target. I just remember that line really hit me. It really kind of struck me. It's like, on the day you were saved, life became a battleground. Angels praised, devils raged. You know, I can't remember the rest of it. It says, you become a target. And I'm like, that's true. That's true. You've gone from passive to all of a sudden on the front lines. We're supposed to be storming the gates of hell, you know, in that way. So John knows truth. John knows the real Jesus. And his words are true. And his message is true. And he's telling us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Don't listen to any other way. There's one way. There's one way. And they'll try to soft sell it. But surely, someone someplace have never heard there's another way. No, one way. Someone on some island has never heard. One way. If they want to know, Jesus Christ will send someone. He puts burdens in people's heart to go there, to or here, to tell them. We just took on Brady Van Winkle from Morgantown. Burden for Turkey. Out of all places in the world, where do you not want to go? Right, Turkey. You know, to take them the gospel message. To be on the front line and say, hey, I'm a Christian, Muslims. God puts that on their heart to go and warn them in that way. You know, and so calls them out. And so it's dangerous. But we're supposed to, because it's the truth. It's the only truth. So there must be people praying over there saying, what is truth? Enough that God's like, I'll send someone. I'll burden a guy from Morgantown. I'll burden some others from Indiana to go. And so this is our ruler. This is our tape measure. This is our judge. This is our guide. This is the answer key where we go and look. Oh, is this what it says? Nope, doesn't contrary. False. We're to test it and examine it through this. So I'm glad he's given us a book. Out of all the ways he communicated, a written word that we can study, consistent throughout the years. I remember watching a video on God's indestructible book, the most persecuted writing in the world. It survives. It continues. And we can trust it again and again and again. So we need to listen. And we need to hear the care in John's warning in this. Again, he's older now. He's probably the oldest Christian in the world at this point in time. All the early disciples were killed off. And so he writes to the church. He writes to the church at that time, and he's writing to the church here in 2017. And he brings us the word of care. Look at verse 1 again. So chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved. He starts out with a word of affection to us. He cares for us. It's a hard truth that is coming, but you can see the love and the care in the voice as he approaches it to us. Oh, beloved. You know, think of when you've had a hard day, you're getting ready to get some hard truth or something like that, and you're with your mom or your dad or your grandma and your grandpa, and they're about ready to help you with something, what do they say? Oh, honey. You know, or, oh, no, oh, sweetheart. Or, oh, and they put their hand around you, and then they're like, here's truth. And they give it to you, and it's comfort. That's what John's doing. He's putting our hand on our shoulder and bringing us in, saying, now, here's what you need to know, beloved. You can't believe everything. You got to test it. Religion is dangerous. You know, Christianity, Jesus Christ is the truth. And so he wants to convey this to us. And he's doing it in a kind and a caring and a compassionate way. Oh, beloved. And again, this is not harsh. The world will tell you this is harsh. If all of a sudden you're saying they're wrong, they would say, oh, do not judge. You know, their favorite verse in the Bible, they don't know any Bible verse, but they know, thou shalt not judge. I shouldn't judge another brother and what he's doing and how he's doing it. I should judge whether true or right. I should test whether this is God from not. I should try every spirit. Here's a verse that tells us that. No, we take a Bible verse and we can interpret it with all of this. And so he says here we are to try it. We are to test it. And his care for us is to tell us, test these things. Try these things. Don't believe everything you hear. I can remember having those conversations with my kids. Television was one of them. Television's fake. This is made up. They were having trouble distinguishing between that. They were like, I think that genie lives in the bottle. You know, they're like, no. So I took the video camera and we set it all up. Megan, you sit on the couch and blink. Levi comes standing there. Buddha again. I had her look through a tube, or Levi was looking through the tube and Megan was waving up, and I edited it all together. And I'm like, were you in a bottle? No. Did Levi appear? No, he walked over and stood there. Did I make it look like Levi appeared? Yeah, he did. I'm like, so see, it's putting on a show for you. Oh. I still have trouble with that. No, Elaine will be like, Batman's not real, bro. I'm like, I understand. we have to show them, communicate what's true and what's not. And because I'm not going to tell that story. So he guards us. He wants us to be on guard. So one way, how do they communicate? How are these spirits communicating? The cool thing is God's already warned us. He's already told us by most of the means and way in which these spirits communicate. He's already told us in the Old Testament, don't listen to anything that comes that way. So he speaks directly against these. Again, this alone, how they are communicating, should warn us away. You know, because God has already told us flat, outright, don't believe anything that comes in this way. That comes through the truth. What's the Old Testament say about this? Don't believe a medium. Someone who contacts the dead and talks that way. God already said, don't listen to these people. Get them out of your community. Don't allow them in there. Witches. Don't listen to them. Don't fear them. Don't be afraid of them in that way. One of the fastest growing things in the United States is in that area with witchcraft, wizardry in that way. Wizards is another. Don't listen to them. Don't suffer these in that way. Necromancers, fancy word for dead talkers. They talk to the dead. People who communicate to the dead for you through seances or whatever else. He already tells us, don't listen to these who talk to the dead. Don't listen to them. You cannot trust them. God tells them in the Old Testament, stay away. Don't hear those messages. One with a familiar spirit. This is someone who contacts someone from the other side, and they're like their lackey on the chain. They think they're the lackey on the chain who's speaking to them, and they'll go and communicate to the other side and come back and convey this truth to you. Jesus already said, don't listen to them. He tells it right out. Again, mediums, I haven't heard shot. Channelers would be the new word for a medium, someone who is letting the Spirit speak through them and talk through them by letting their mind go empty, and then they communicate. The Bible outright says no to these. So if a message has come to you in any of those ways, you're already like, no, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to anything you have to say. And yet, these things are all popular today. They're growing in popularity. And on the increase, people are seeking it. And it's almost, and it's a result of evolution. It's a result of naturalism, because God's made us spiritual. He's made us to want to communicate Him and want to know these truths. And so when you take it away and you say there is nothing, they're going to turn back to something. And so once you say there is no God, there is it, they go back to the nature religions. They go back to talking and communicating this way, and that opens them up for all these truths. And so it's a pattern. We can look through history that these cycles continue. And so it's there, and we're at the prime spot. These are all workers for Antichrist. And our society elevates them and makes them popular. And the scary thing is, sells it most to our children. Vampires. Werewolves. They make them the hunky love story that you've got to go after. The ones who very embodiment of who they are, how they behave, and how they operate are literally the spirit of Antichrist. And they make them the love story interest, where it used to be with Bram's Dracula and all that. They were the ultimate bad guy, the terrifying thing that scared you at night. Now they're the things you want to invite into your bedroom at night, because they glisten and they glow and they're exciting and they're supernatural. They have power and they strength, and they sell it to young girls in that way. It's a lie from the devil. Let alone, oh, that might be a little too harsh and your kids aren't old enough for that. Let's invite you to the wizarding world of Harry Potter, where we put up everything that God says is wrong, and we make it cool and fun and acceptable, and you too can play with, right? Loved by millions. Come visit his world at Universal Studios. Live the part. Act it out loud. Do me the honor of the fifth. Participate. Buy your wand in the wand shop. You know, and get the book of spells and do these things that are based on real spells that do this. It's not innocent fun. You know, it could be good entertainment, but it's not, because God has already warned us about this. And we're supposed to have our discernment on full level, and yet we invite these things in. We are to shun it. We are to put it out, not invite it in. But these spirits are subtle, and some are not so subtle. But you can just there are many ways that are listed. I thought, well, I knew some ways. I'll just Google. How many ways do you communicate with the Spirit? You know, all these different things that you could do. Tarot cards, tea leaves, chicken bones, rune stones, Ouija boards. I knew about meditation. Just empty your mind. We're never to empty our mind. We meditate on God's Word, but we're to be on guard, not letting anything in. Test and try all things. You know, the news media, Elaine and I, you know, empty nesters now. Millions of years, we'll still say, liar, 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 out loud if we hear it on TV, if we're not changing the channel. So we try to run for it. Keep our mind on guard. Don't let this seep in. Though it's a catchy tune or do whatever. You know, we want to be on guard for it. Automatic writing, mantras, by saying something, repeating it over and over and over till you make yourself numb. You can watch videos, it's scary. Mirrors are used in this way, or a way to look through. They call them black mirrors and other things like that. They call television black mirrors too. That's by design, and we're finding out some creepy stuff with your TV that you admit to when you first buy that new TV. You accept a lot of stuff that we probably ought not accept, but no surprise. A light bulb flickering. Google will tell you that. If your light bulb is flickering, it's the Spirit's trying to contact you. Stop and listen. Tune into it or change the light bulb. But if the room temperature changes, they try to make it, you just pass through a spirit. Is something happening? You know, and so communicate. Tap into the third eye. That's mysticism. Nothing with this. Speak questions out loud. Is there anyone here? What's going on? Why would you open yourself up to that? God is speaking. You want supernatural? God of the universe is speaking directly through His Word, and He'll tell you exactly how you ought to live and behave. Why ask some stranger wandering by through the spirit realm? Not even wise. Clock stopping. That's weird, the clock stop. We have one that stopped downstairs because I bought a little lock to teach you how to pick locks because I've always wanted to learn because I like Houdini and all that stuff. And so we were playing with it downstairs the other day, and Levi's like, time me. And so Adam was watching me, and he was like, I think it was like 2 seconds. And Adam's like, I only think the hands moved. I'm like, that clock doesn't work. Oh. I'm like, man, Levi, you're fast. But so, number things, when you keep seeing the same number all the time, that they try to, I looked at the clock and it was 6:30, and I looked over here and it was 6:30. I saw a plate in front of me, it was 6:30. Spirits are communicating with me. No, you just know it's 6:30 for some reason. Shadows out of the corner of your eye. That's a spirit trying to talk. Don't listen to this stuff. If the phone rings once, don't answer it. No. But that's the way. Orbs in your photos, crystals, on and on and on. Rings on a string, crystal balls, spells, planchettes, pentagons, and pendulums. All these different things that you can use to try to communicate. And the spirit realm does not sit on the shelf. They'll go with whatever's trendy because the world pushes whatever and they jump on board. Matter of fact, they'll pursue it. You can download countless apps to communicate with the dead. There's the Contact the Paranormal, the Ouija board apps, Ask the Dead, Spirit Box, Go Speak, Seances, on and on and on. These are apps that you can get that you can communicate. Make sure your kids don't have these on their phone. To open it up, ghost detectors and all this, to try to make them overly consumed with the spirit realm in that way. Stay away from these things. He's telling us here, that's just the overt no. Get away from. God's Word is true. And it says no to all this. Don't seek it out. Don't notice it. Don't listen. Don't fall for it. I think the timing of the last time that the Lewises spoke, we went to Dairy Queen afterwards, and Phronsie was telling some good stories, real stories, scary stories. But it's been so insightful to help me because he lives down in voodoo country, right? That's where he raised, and it's real front lines battle. And he'll tell you the truth on how to combat it. Don't notice it. Don't give it a minute. Walk past it. Do your thing. Stay on him. Don't give power to it. Don't acknowledge it. Keep on going. It's been so practical. I can't tell you how many times the last few weeks it's been so helpful to say, that's it. That's the truth. And that's what the Bible says. It sums it down into that. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. Go after him. Focus on him. Don't give heed to the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee. Truth in action. He's lived it and it has the stories to back it up. We should too as well. It might be more subtle. But God tells. Look at Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1. Again, this is in the early instructions that he's given us. He's already hit all these things head on. And we could be all morning looking at all of them, but I'm going to speed it up here a little bit. But Deuteronomy 13. Oh, sorry, yeah, 13. I keep thinking 32. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1 says, If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, or giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto these words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put thy evil away from the midst of thee. He says right there, don't even listen to it. You know, knows what it is. And they're saying, don't buy it. I am the way. And so he warns us early on. He tells us again, and Jeremiah 29 and others, I don't have time for this morning, but we are to put away evil. It sounds harsh to us today. Put them away. That'd be awful harsh. But think how much better it would be, how much safer it would be, but we've allowed it and we've let it creep in. It would save lives. But we're at least to warn them, and we're to stop, and we're to try to tell others, don't listen, be aware. But we have compromised and we have corrupted. And these are all of God's safeguards that we've like knocked out of the way. We need to reinstate them. At least reinstate them in your life. No, not in my house. No, not in my... We don't watch that. We don't listen to that. We don't allow that. You know, and we keep it safeguarded away. You can perfectly study it if you're preparing for that, if you need to, if you're addressing someone. But again, we want to counterbalance it with what's good and what's true and what's right. But they make it alluring. They want to draw us away. They want to give us a fascination. Fascination with that power. We have a source of unlimited power in Jesus Christ, but it takes humility. See, all their ways, it gives you a little bit of power, and it gives you a little bit of pride. Oh, I can communicate to the dead, or I can talk to them, or I can make that demon do what I want, or that spirit guide demon in disguise. I can do whatever, and it's boasting up your pride, and your mouth, and your power, and who you think you are. Where God's way is you humble yourself. You can't do it. You can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. He'll give you the power. It's through him. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the words to say. And it's not in you. It's you relying on him. See, that's not alluring to the flesh. But it should be, right? Because we're innately lazy. God says, I will do it. Let me work through you. And it's not even that. It's having us. We have to war within ourselves to put ourselves down to let Christ shine through us. There's true strength and true power. We can tap into that. We're to be aware of it. We're to have our eyes open. We've been talking recently about these Acts Head experiences where God is moving. God is answering prayer. God is moving in our midst. You don't have to go seek the dark side. God will do these things. Praise Him. Acknowledge Him. Thank Him for answered prayer. Thank Him for moving and doing this thing, that God would show Himself to encourage you. Here, I've done this. Do you not know I love for you? Do you not know I care for you? Do you not know I am behind you in what you are doing? I hope you get that message. God's behind you. He answers your prayer that He would move us enough to do that with you. God has given you a sign saying, I love you. I care for you. Do my work. We want a part of that in that way. So God is moving in this way, that He would move through us in that way, that God would choose to do so. It's awesome. God's showing Himself to it. And so God gives us these warnings. But here's the scary one. And I need to go just a little bit here. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Because we have all those overt things that we should at least know, stay away from, that's not right, and hit us up front. But Matthew 7, verse 15, Christ warns us. Matthew 7:15 says, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. False prophets who deceive us by wrapping themselves up and passing themselves off as sheep. They're not sheep. They want to pretend that they're sheep so they can attack the church in that way. A wolf on the inside, doing damage among the herd, among the congregation. We have to be on guard. Romans 6 tells us they're deceivers. But I'm going to skip that one, but turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's many, many verses on this to warn us, but 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4 verse 1 says, Now the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit that we should listen to, Now this is the good Spirit that we should listen to. It says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And yet John's warned us about this. They speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They forbid to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is refused and should be received with thanksgiving. And then he talks about sanctifying it in prayer. And so we have to watch out for, in the last time, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils that will pull you away. They have a hint of the truth that pull it away. Wolves in sheep clothing, false teachers, false prophets, false Christs. And there are seven types in the church today that we have to be on guard for. Seven types of false teachers, false prophets, false Christs. One's the heretic. He's the one that comes in and just teaches contradicting, he teaches contradicting to the essential doctrines. He'll come in and say, no, not quite. And the things that we've always believed, no, let's change it a little bit. Let's make it differently in this way. You have to be watching out for him. He's just an outright heretic. He is changing what God has clearly told us, taking good doctrine and trying to pervert it. Watch out for the heretic. Then there's the charlatan. He uses Christianity to get rich, just seeking after money. He quarrels over little words. He'll try to produce envy, and he just wants enough Christ to be out there so that he can fill his pockets. So you watch out for the charlatan. Then there's the prophet. They claim to be gifted a new revelation. It's outside of Scripture, and it misleads the masses by saying, I have a new word coming to you. It's not written in the Bible, and it's not this way, and here it is. Be on guard. Be on guard. Then there's the abuser. He uses his position to take advantage of other people sexually or just to have power over their lives, to manipulate who they are, what they are doing, to have all control over them, the abuser. Then there's the divider. He uses false doctrine to disrupt and destroy churches and divide families and to cause division and derision and get them all fighting over something and never producing any fruit and going out and trying to do the good work of the gospel. And then there's the tickler. He cares nothing about what God's word has to say, but everything what man has to say. He's a man-pleaser. He's all about popularity, about the praise of men. And he'll only speak on approved messages that have happy, uplifting stories to it and never anything about sin and confronting you where you are because he's an ear tickler. And then there's the predictor. He sets dates on the Lord's return and will tell you why. There's 88 reasons he's coming in 88. There's 2,000 reasons he's coming in 2,000. Hey, that fish net, they caught 153 fish. Here's 153 reasons why he's coming whenever, whatever, and leading people astray in that way, using a natural thing that Christ wants to reward us for, loving His return, and then setting dates and twisting it and going contrary to clear teaching of Scripture. We have to be on guard for all seven of those. Let's go back to 1 John and we'll close. 1 John chapter 4. In verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. We are to test them, examine them. Is this real? Is this right? Even if it's supernatural, is that right? Unless it's aligning with God's word. The answer is no. Get away from it. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We got to stand against them. We got to not let them in. We got to believe the true prophet. We got to listen to his prophets. We got to listen to his word. And we should then expose them. We are to try them against Jesus Christ and expose them for what they are, that they are darkness. We are to run to the light, flee the darkness. We need to be aware of them. And we should know the truth because the truth will set us free. The main truth is that we need to agree with God that we are sinners. And we need to repent of that sin and trust Jesus Christ to save us. If we have so, rejoice in that. Trust in Him. Let Him lead us. Let Him guide us. Let Him be the lamp unto our feet and light unto our path and not seek all these extra things. He's fantastic. Stay near unto Him. He will show Himself to you. We can prove that here and again, just if we just opened up for testimonies. Thank you for being here. Let's close the word of prayer.